You need to have the capabilities to understand what the data tells you. And then it's really being able to map things together from there. And whatever technology you learn, it is important to learn the principles under which it operates and what drives it, right?
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we hear from retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne, and on today's episode, we're talking to Thomas Fenrick, VP of Digital Product at IKEA US, about how the company is using cutting-edge technology to let customers visualize IKEA products in their own homes, how consumers are driving new retail innovations, and what the future of retail looks like. Thomas Fenrick, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So, IKEA, I don't think that there is a person alive that doesn't know the IKEA brand, honestly. It's not just because it's big buildings with big signage. It's just, I think in your life, starting probably in college, IKEA becomes a part of your life. But I want to know a little bit about your path, your career, and how you got to IKEA.
Yeah, it's been interesting journey, actually, because I don't have a background in retail and smattering of e-commerce background. So originally, I got started in a startup out in California that was helping primarily U.S. companies build software products for international markets. And, took on an engineering role in that, software development. And that ultimately brought me to eBay, where way back in the day, they were the poster child for, you know, the new internet economy that was building. And so had the great fortune there to help build them an organization and the capabilities to bring eBay to markets around the world. So from three markets where we started very quickly, grew to 20 plus markets. And so for me, that was a great, great learning opportunity to see how things are done at scale and how that worked. But it ultimately got me more interested in really understanding the business and how to really build for customers and what drives the market differences and so forth. And that got me into essentially the career path that I'm on right now, which is product management, mostly in the software world. And that brought me to Microsoft and then Yahoo, Salesforce. I worked at IBM for a couple of years there as well. Then started at Expedia. And then, you know, COVID hit. Travel, not as great of a business during those days. But a former colleague of mine had just started at IKEA and was telling me about the transformation journey and the growth opportunity that the company sees. And, it got me really interested in this particular industry, especially given the breadth of the scope. And so that's where I started then joining the Digital Hub, the newly formed Digital Hub of IKEA US, which I've been here now for 2.5 years or so, and helping to build the capabilities together with our larger central organization from Sweden and other places in Europe. And it's been super interesting because it really spans, the remit spans essentially for all the technical and digital capabilities when our inventory hits the US, all the way down to store technology and what we're doing for customer service and customer support, as well as, of course, the shopping experience digitally.
As a global company, you know, creating a platform and all of the challenges that would go with that. I mean, is my experience in the United States on the IKEA platform any different from the experience that somebody would have in Sweden or Germany or anywhere else?
In small areas, yes. We're really trying to build an immersive experience over time, right?
Right.
So IKEA stores are very iconic, of course.
Of course.
And have been driving have been driving customer experience in a very different way, especially compared to many other US retailers, right? So
sure.
a very unique retail model that IKEA brought to the table. And we've been on this digital transformation journey to lift some of those capabilities over to the digital world as well and really create this omnichannel experience. And overall, I think, you know, what makes the scale is really trying to leverage this across all the countries
right.
that IKEA operates in.
And to think about, having that platform and that website where I, as a consumer, would go to find, you know, a product that I wanted. I mean, the amount of SKU that you have in your stores, look, walking around an IKEA store is an experience. You can lose weight very easily. I mean, there's a lot to see. You got the path, you go on the path. But I mean, how do you make it so easy to navigate in an online environment? I mean, it just seems like it would be hard to do.
It's not easy, certainly. And I think that's a journey that we're on to trying to really understand our customers. What are they looking for? Right. And how can we help them navigate that to that?
Right.
Both drive the inspiration, but then also demonstrate our specific expertise, which is really, you know, how important life at home is and,
right.
and, you know, bringing a measure of sustainability to that as well.
Right.
And it's difficult to combine all of these aspects, right? So our journey there is really focused around the customer and what might they be looking for
sure.
in the specific context, right? And especially from an online perspective, it's a very different experience and also a very different interaction model than going to
sure.
a store, right? Yes, you go to a store for inspiration as well, but you don't have the frequency of visits that you have from an online perspective, right?
Sure.
And plus online, right? Customer behavior is you compare a lot of different things, maybe even outside of IKEA. And so that's where we're really trying to help differentiate ourselves and help drive the customer experience so that it becomes a seamless
yeah.
experience that really meets their needs.
Yeah. So you have this new opportunity for consumers, and it's called IKEA Creative. Mm-hmm. What is that? What is the technology behind that?
So it really is around helping customers visualize what IKEA could bring to them in their own home, right? It's essentially a artificial intelligence app and artificial intelligence capabilities that allow you to take your own environment and place IKEA furniture into it and reimagine your space altogether from the ground up. Mm. And this is really, you know, an AI-driven digital experience that's available both in the app and online. And it's meant to be intuitive to allow customers to really integrate and visualize IKEA products into their home in a way that feels natural to them.
Yeah, I can see why that really makes sense. If you're in the store and you know you're standing in front of a display, you can kind of visualize what that looks like. Online, it's not as easy to do, but when you have that capability of actually taking the room and putting the product in, it kind of solves for that problem that you basically, I don't want to say created the same opportunity that you would have in a store, but you've created the same opportunity to visualize the way it would look where you want to put it, I would think.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Have the customers responded?
Yes. It's super interesting to see what customers actually do with this, right? So in part, it is, right, certainly looking at different combinations of products and trying products out in different rooms and really figuring out, you know, their own creative ways of, you know, visualizing their spaces. And it's something that really helped us understand some of the needs that customers have, but also, right, we've seen you know, great response from customers in the first few weeks right away since the updated app capabilities were released.
Is it one of those things where, you know, a lot of people, I do it. I mean, I'll go online, I'll see whatever I'm looking for, and then I'll go to the store. I know a lot of people just go online, they purchase online, but I kind of like that more tactile experience of seeing it and saying, oh, I think that would be interesting, then going to the store and purchasing. They can visualize it because they can do it. They can put the product in the room. They can see it. Do they usually order from there? Or do they go to the stores? Or is it a combination of both?
It's a combination, right? And it's also, right, for some items, right, it makes it easier to order online and put it in your shopping cart and buy it right then and there, right? For some things, customers might not be familiar with yet, right? We're initially focusing on bedrooms and living spaces.
Right.
And, you know, there's still oftentimes a need to experience it in person.
Right.
But over time, we'll expand where those capabilities exist and what products are supported with that. And I think it'll evolve over time, right? If you're someone like me, I've got an IKEA bookshelf behind me.
I've had my bookshelf.
I've had that before I had an employee discount. You know, one of the things about IKEA is there's a system to it, right?
Right.
And so there are certain things, certain products that customers might already be familiar with, and they lend themselves, of course, then to much more direct online ordering, some other things. And when we introduce new products, right, that might lead more naturally to a store visit to experience that.
Yeah. Since you've mentioned the bookshelf, and this is kind of way off subject, my goodness, you obviously like to read. What do you like to read? There's a lot of books back there.
There's a lot of books, yeah. I've got another couple of shelves upstairs that runs the gamut. I mean, of course, you see a whole lot of business books, right? Both technology as well as, you know, how to improve the business, myself, right? My career. But then, you know, I also love reading economics.
Oh boy.
I love reading history, especially American history.
Yeah. I can understand the history, the economics. Enjoy that, please. You don't see any of those back there on my very limited bookshelf compared to yours. Now, you've been working on this project for a while, and you know, is there anything that surprised you or key learning that you took away from this experience?
Yeah, I mean, as someone who leads teams and the organization in this, what was really awesome for me to see was the creativity, right? And getting out of the way, how teams really explore and bring to the table their own perspectives and innovation around this, right? It has been awesome to witness and see the results come in that really focus on the customer, right? And not just showcase some cool technology, but really brings machine learning and 3D technology into something that's actually immediately applicable and helpful for customers.
I would assume, based on this experience, and this is just an assumption, but this is my subject du jour, and I think it will be for a while, metaverse. Are you all taking this experience and kind of reimagining as we move towards that technology? Or are you just focused right now on what you have, AI, continuing to make it better and better and better? And at some point, do those two things merge?
I think, you know, in general, not speaking about IKEA in particular, but I think over time, right, there really is an opportunity for these things to merge.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be interesting to see that development in all kinds of areas, right? And I think that's something where the industry, right? I mean, people have been talking about convergence for 20 years. Mm-hmm. Everything will always be converging, right?
Right.
Just a factor of scale, convenience, and new ways of exploring capabilities. And I think that'll be a natural evolution.
I'm always intrigued by the fact, one of the first articles I read many, many years ago about Jeff Bezos and Amazon was they asked him, you know, how he felt about being a retailer. And he said, I'm not a retailer, I'm a technologist, which I thought was very interesting. And so as technology and the retail experience have become so advanced, I was even more intrigued by an article that I read, and it was CEO of a major retailer. And he said, I am a retail technologist. So technology and retail are synonymous almost. You got to be really good in the technology space if you want to be a successful retailer. Yeah. If I am a student, and we have a lot of students who listen to Retail Gets Real, what area would you encourage them to go? Is it studying software? How do they stay in front of this so that when they get out of school, there's an opportunity for them?
Yeah. Well, I think there's three things that need to come together. And one, from a technical perspective, yes, there's technologies that keep evolving and keep refining. But I think the core thing that drives a lot of the capabilities nowadays, right, is data. Mm-hmm. Understanding how data relates to two things, A, the business, and B, the customer, I think is super important.
Yeah.
And artificial intelligence and machine learning, they're all built around large data sets.
Sure.
And you need to have the capabilities to understand what the data tells you. And then it's really being able to map things together from there. And, you know, whatever technology you learn, it is important to learn the principles under which it operates and what drives it, right?
I mean, yep.
I started learning way back when, right? Started with BASIC and C and C++, right? And capabilities have, in the software world, changed so radically. And the pace of innovation will continue to accelerate around this, right? Where now you get artificial intelligence systems actually building code for yourself, right?
Yep.
So it's important to understand and have a solid foundation and the principles, and then really be able to be data literate,
right,
and understand how this maps to customer behavior as well as the business.
Yeah. I mean, you've said it multiple times, and I think that's very wise. It's about the customer. It starts with the customer, it ends with the customer. It's understanding what they want, when they want it, how they want it, the price they want to pay for it, how they're going to shop for it. Understanding that customer is the key to making sure that the technologies that you're using actually answer those questions and apply to what the customer really wants in that experience.
That's right. There are ways to both learn from the observation of human behavior as well as shape it, right? All of us needed to get trained on smartphones, right? And adapt to new ways of dealing with capabilities that emerge around us. And you know, some of that is really specifically shaping how we as humans and customers interact with technology.
So you've been at IKEA for a couple of years. You've developed these programs. You've seen these technologies. What excites you most about the future of the industry more broadly, of retail?
Well, I think the overall potential, right? And a lot of companies in general, and retail in particular, right? There's a lot of person-to-person human interaction. And the potential that exists to really connect, right? I just talked about data, to really connect the data end-to-end and
right,
help inform that human interaction, right? And meet customers where they are and how they want to be met, right?
Right.
You mentioned the metaverse, right? So portion of future retail customers and future retail will likely happen there and take place there. So how do people want to engage in that? And I think that's to me the fascinating part. It's both the breadth of everything that, you know, a smooth retail operation and satisfying customer experience entails, and then the opportunity and the potential to really connect it all end to end and not just optimize for efficiencies, but actually build capabilities that sort of take the technology actually more or less out and allow systems to take actions based on the data automatically rather than humans having to do that. And then leveraging that capability to better understand a customer, better help coworkers in store, right? Retail associates in stores. And when customers want to be met with that personal interaction, be able to provide that.
Yeah, that is very exciting. And it's coming. So I will ask this last question. And that is, and because you've had an extraordinary career up to this point in time, and you're a young guy, so you've got a lot more to go.
White beard notwithstanding.
What's your best piece of career advice? Advice that you've gotten or that you would give to others?
Well, I'm not sure that I personally would look to myself for advice, but for me, what's been important to me and what has worked for me is to really deliberately treat your skills like a portfolio and know where the blank spots are and, you know, probe into it and add to that quiver that you have and build on that. And then if there are opportunities to explore that actually provide for a change, you know, see a fork in the road, take it.
Yeah. You've got to be willing to embrace change and to take risks. And you look at your career path, it's just one thing, building off the other, really gaining a true dimensionality in terms of how you view things based on the experience of your past and how you can apply that to what you're doing today and into the future. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Thomas Fenrid, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a great conversation. And thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can learn more about this episode and more at retailgetsreal.com. I'm Bill Thorne. This is Retail Gets Real. Thanks again for listening. Until next time.